Susan, you go, girl. I'm so proud of you. Did you see Susan on the piano today? Go ahead now. She's been all nervous, but she's done beautiful today, and thankful for our volunteers and people that step up and help. And kids, are you ready to head out? If you're here, you don't have to head out. I am more than happy to have you remain with me. In fact, why not come join us in the front? You know what I'm saying? Elizabeth, you okay? You ready for all this? Can you make sure my kids make it somewhere out there at 10? Okay. Just kidding. Well, so excited to be with all of you today, and I hope that you are ready for the Word of God. So we're going to do it Christmas style today. Is that okay? Y'all, I love Christmas. It took everything in me not to pull the Christmas sweater out, and I didn't, as you can tell, but it was in the lineup. And so anyway, I went away from that, but I might show up in one. Y'all know about John the Baptist, right? Do you know that that is part of the Christmas story? It's part of what happened at Christmas. In fact, it's kind of the pre-setup to what happens at Christmas. So if you have your Bibles today, I'd encourage you to turn to Luke chapter 1, a great place to start. And we're going to be in verse 5 reading on from there. And so once you have that, if you would stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. Again, Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 5. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God. I want you to hear this. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child. Now, while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. Keep this in mind. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. Isn't that a tremendous scene? Think about it. He was chosen out of the five. They were in this room. There's thousands praying outside, and they are praying. The four leave, and he's left there by himself at one of the holiest moments of the year. And the angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense, and Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, as angels always do, you should know this, do not be afraid, for your prayers have been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even, think about this, this is tremendous. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even in his mother's womb. Come on now. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elisha to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. God, today, we just ask today that you would bless, that you would anoint, that you would move in and through the reading of your word, and God, that you would use these words to challenge our hearts today. We love you. We honor you. We pray against the enemy and his schemes in the name of Jesus. He has no rights here, just as he had no rights in these moments so many years ago. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated. Okay, so let's go through Zechariah and Elizabeth, okay? And I want you to really kind of understand them so you understand how significant these moments are. But church, what I want you to get is where they're found. If I can do one thing for you through the years of my ministry at AFC, I want you to understand that the people in the Bible that were ready to receive the call of the Lord were found a certain way. I'm sorry. Right? I'm young and I'm preaching holiness, but the truth of the matter is that if we want to be used fully by God, we need to be found in a way that we can be used. And this is where Zechariah and Elizabeth are found. So let's talk about Zechariah real quick. Guess what? He was just an ordinary village priest. I often hear people preach about Zechariah as if he was the high priest or this. He was just your ordinary, just like me, just an ordinary pastor of a town that, and he was faithful and he was serving God faithfully. He was just an ordinary guy, just like you, just like me. Not somebody that had some special way, unlike everybody else, to be holy or be blameless. He was just a normal, normal priest. He was also serving his semi-annual rotation in the temple. So it just happened to be his turn to go to the temple, which he would travel from the village, go to the temple, and he would serve his time. Then he would go back to the village and be the priest in that village. He's a member of the division of Abijah. This is the second tier down. So again, you've got your main, and then he's a second tier kind of priest. You get that? It's kind of like us. We're like second tier. Is that okay? Okay, to say like the DS, then me, and then, okay, y'all aren't. The division of Abijah served the ninth rotation. This is what's so significant. The ninth rotation is translated Yeshua, which is translated Jesus. Are you getting the picture here? This isn't just coincidence. God was moving in a specific way with specific people that were living out his call. And we see here that this is just as John precedes Jesus. Let's talk about Elizabeth for a second. Many of us have, I don't know if this comes to your mind, but every time I think of Elizabeth, I think of the moment, think about it, when Mary comes. I mean, this is crazy. Like John the Baptist and Jesus are in their wombs and there's a leaping. I mean, that's significant. And what's so crazy is that the Word of God tells us the Holy Spirit was on John in his mother's womb. Do you get this? This is significant. What's crazy is that somehow, and this is where you're not going to like this and where it kind of pulls everything in, this is again, and I don't know if you remember when we preached about the four men that brought the sick man to the, and the Word tells us that his salvation was because of them. Here we see John, okay, for some reason chosen, and it was because of something else. We also know that she herself was a daughter of a priest, Aaron. The marriage of priests to daughters of priests was very carefully handled. It was the way in which your status was established. See, your status in the priesthood wasn't about money. It was about lineage. Lineage was important. And here we see that this is handled so carefully. We also see, when you combine them both, that Elizabeth and Zechariah were considered to be upright. Now, when you translate that, it means they had a pure heart. Well, I mean, Pastor, they were priests. Oh, goodness. Y'all know what was going on in that day? A ton of corruption. You know what's going on today? A ton of corruption. Corruption was, it is, and it'll continue to be until Jesus says, the time has come where enough is enough. Right? We should be excited about that day. But there was corruption in the priesthood. There was corruption in that day. But somehow these two were described as upright, meaning they had a pure heart, meaning it is possible. Meaning when you say, I just can't, I don't know if that's a good excuse anymore. I think if you get it as you go along, right, as we go along here, that it's possible. We just got through a series where we realized we could say Jesus, Stephen, I mean, it's possible. And here we see a significant couple. All right, so let's take a look here and kind of understand why John? Why John? And if you know the translations, it's the John the Baptizer, because he was going to go and baptize. He's not a Baptist. And so if you're from a Baptist background, you can't claim like the Nazarenes that Jesus was from Nazareth. Anyway. Y'all just aren't with me, but that's okay. That's all right. I'm going to let you go today. Okay, so why John? Let's talk about it for a second. Now, we don't often say this, okay? But I promise you that each of you, whether you have children or not, so don't block me out. Just if you don't have kids, don't let this know. There's some learning here, okay? There's some learning here because this was not just about John. It was about the eternity, the rest of history of today they had a part in. So why John? Well, because of his parents. What do you mean? Yeah, because of his parents. John wasn't here yet, so he didn't get to live a life where God looked down on Mary and said, well, Mary, I've scanned the world. I've examined you. I've looked at your heart. I've chosen you. John wasn't here yet. So how in the world could God look at John and say, John, it's you. You're going to be my forerunner for Jesus. No, guess who he looked at? His parents. Now, why is this significant? When I meet up with Jesus, guess what he's going to ask me? He's going to ask me about my neighbors at my house, right? Because they're going to be able to testify who I am. He's going to ask me about the neighbors next to AFC. How were you a part of? Come on now. It was about his parents. Think about this statement. God does not give us everything we want, but he does fulfill his promises. Think about it. Leading us along the best and straightest path to himself. There are far, far better things ahead than any we leave behind. We never grow closer to God when we just live life. It takes deliberate pursuit and attentiveness. And church, that describes Elizabeth and Zechariah. That describes Elizabeth and Zechariah. They were personally what? They were extremely devoted to God. They were devoted followers. You could not find them at home doing something that was not blameless, which meant whenever you came around them, guess what they were doing? They were honoring, they were fulfilling, they were living out God's holiness at a time when the Holy Spirit wasn't moving freely across the earth. They were respecters of the temple. I promise you, when his lot came, guess where he was found? Ready to take on his lot, right? He was found where God intended him to be. They were observers of the full law. And if you know anything about the law at this time, they had created a lot of laws. And guess what they did? They memorized them all and they lived them out. Praise God, today we don't have to do that, right? Come on now, because yesterday you shouldn't have eaten the fish that you ate. Are you with me here? Okay, I'm just messing around. But think about this. They were also not a part of the corruption. There was a lot of corruption of the day, and they weren't a part of it. They were the most excellent choice. You know what God's looking for today? He's looking for a why with your name in it. And it may not be about you. It may be about your kid, your grandkid, your neighbor, your student, person you work with. Because honestly, it wasn't really about Elizabeth and Zechariah. But why John? Because of Elizabeth and Zechariah. They did not live this way contingent on a promise. Are you with me here? See, many of us put requests before the Lord and we say, if you, I will. They didn't do that. In fact, they lived in shame. We don't like to talk about that. In fact, the scripture tells us that they nobly lived in shame. Meaning they didn't say, well, no, there's no reason we shouldn't have shame. At that time, especially being a priest's wife, not bearing a child was a big deal. And guess what? They were of years and they didn't bear a child. But yet in that, they did not make their faith contingent on that not coming to be. They lived it anyway. Church, if we would live anyway and let God do the... They did not live based on their shame, based on how other people looked at them or considered them. Because you know in that day what other people said, right? There must be sin in your life. But guess what? The Holy Spirit came in. The angel came down and said, I don't care what your neighbor said. There ain't nothing with you all. And so we're going to use you two. See, God can come in and trump anything that anyone else has ever said about you. He can come in and say, you know what? I see your heart. I see who you really are. Let's get busy. So they used, why John? Well, his parents. Why a barren couple? Come on now. Why not? You know what God likes to do? We don't believe it, but he likes to do miracles. He just does. I know I keep harping on this, and I know you're going to get sick of hearing it, But, you know, I had told you that I got my life insurance dropped because of COVID, and then I appealed and I got a letter back, and it said all these things that I didn't know about that happened in the hospital. And they said, well, if not for COVID, it's for all these other reasons. So I believe, and I keep trying to not put it in my mind and say, God, it wasn't really that big of a deal. And then I get a letter from insurance that has a list of things I can't even interpret that said happened to me while I was in the hospital and I didn't even know about it. So yes, it's a miracle. Yes, he can take something that's dead and bring it to life. Some of you are living examples of that. And then we go back to, well, let's go back to Abraham or Abram and Sarai. God gave them a promise. He took what wasn't alive and he made it alive. And then he said, not only am I going to bring it to life, I'm going to let you look up at night and know that your descendants are going to be as great as the stars in the sky. Church, we cannot let the barren places in our life dictate our commitment to Christ. Just as the narrative of Isaac stands at the inauguration of the nation of Israel, so does John's birth stand as the inauguration of the messianic Davidic kingdom coming. Whew. God uses in both. Come on now, both those scenarios, a barren woman, where nothing should have come to life, but it did. Okay, so let's go back for a second. Why John? Well, his parents. You may be the reason that somebody else will be used. If we can stop being selfish, maybe we could recognize that. Maybe our investment in somebody else is so that God can, maybe we're the ones that are the forerunners. Maybe we're the, sounds like you don't believe that. God can take the dead areas in your life and bring them to life. God can take those things that you thought will never change and he can bring change. And what's funny is that even that which brought them shame, God said, you know what? I'm going to bring it to life. The third thing, John, holiness, baptism. Let's go through it really fast so we can understand this. We often think, and I've heard this before, well, I mean, they should be happy from then on out. Like, all things should be good, right? John's coming. The promise is here. Now, we know how it goes. Zechariah doubts the angel, says, be silent. You know that when you doubt God, don't expect a great response from him. I'm learning that in my life. When I doubt him, when I question him, he comes back. And I think that if we were living out this faith like a mustard seed, we doubt him a little less. Think about this. Turmoil didn't end just because John came on the scene. Think about it. You know, if I were to go around and say, well, you know, my son's going to be the, you know, the forerunner to the second coming of Jesus, you'd look at me and say, well, first of all, you don't have a son, right? And second of all, that's crazy, right? And so the turmoil didn't end just because the promise came, just because John came. It didn't all of a sudden become normal. See, what happens is we get in our minds that if God moves, then everything will be, you know, we have an enemy. That every time God moves, he comes. But guess who's more powerful? God. Guess who has greater plans? God. Guess who will have the victory in the end? God. And that's how they lived. Is that how you're living today? And I want you to replace John there and put whatever it is, whatever that promise is, with or without, we have to be found faithful. And when it comes, don't expect everything to be rosy. Just because a promise comes does not mean that heartache, that tough days. I mean, think about his parents. Think about what they had to go through. Think about the years to come. Then think about the persecution that would come to Jesus. I want you to think about this next statement. You can read it. I can read it to you. An encounter with the holy sometimes replaces peace with chaos and the familiar with the unknown. The life of faith is not the cessation of the travels of life or a disengagement from its harsh realities. It is a bold undertaking to create good in a fallen world, a life with its own trials, to be patiently borne by the faithful. Right there is us, you, wrapped up. Okay. Y'all, like, I don't know about you, but when I read the Bible, I start getting into the scenes. Like picturing, I think we have a hard time because we're so movie, TV oriented or short video clip oriented that it's hard for us to imagine what's happening here. But I want you to think about the temple for a second. Think about the five priests. It's their time for the rotation. It's their time for the rotation. They go in, they cast lots, and guess who gets chosen? Zechariah. So they prepare everything. And then it's time for the four priests to leave. So the four priests leave. And then everyone on the outside is doing what? Praying. And I don't mean praying like, I mean praying like they all fall down. I mean, this is a scene. He couldn't see it, but he knows it happens because he's been out there before. And you know what he does? As the door shuts on the temple, he falls to the ground, prostrate. I don't know. I've been challenged. Our prayer lives should include some time on our knees, should include some time falling on our face. It's a practice that didn't end just because the Old Testament times technically ended. It's a practice that continued. So there he lays at the most holy moment for him. They say it would only happen once in a lifetime. So here was his once in a lifetime chance to be the incense bearer, to make sure that it would stay all night, to lay on the ground, prostrate before the Lord, and cry out on behalf of everyone that's out there. Wasn't even about him. It was about everyone else. And then at the holiest of moments, a moment that he had waited for his whole life, the angel comes. You know, there's angels waiting to come and speak to you. You say, Pastor, you're talking crazy now. I promise you the Holy Spirit wants to come and speak to you, bring new life, take those dark spaces and bring them to life, take those spaces that you think are dead and bring them to life. And all of a sudden, a whole new existence comes. Now, I don't know that Zechariah in that moment handled it the best, right? But the bottom line is, the angel came at the holiest of moments and said, not only are you going to have a son, not only is he going to be the forerunner, but your wife is going to have the presence of the Holy Spirit in her womb. Whew. Can you imagine? Just think about it. Out here, you can see it, and inside, the presence of God, really for the first time in this way, came into a womb and filled John so that when he came out, all he could think about was Jesus. You know, all we should be thinking about is Jesus. It sets us apart. Okay. So let's just review real quick. Why John? Because of somebody else. Maybe you're because of somebody else. Or maybe it's you. Why would God use a barren place in her life? Why would God use a barren place in your life? Because our God is a God of miracles. Why is holiness so imperative? Because that's when the Lord comes and speaks. I could stand here today, and I don't try to act too theological, but I could tell you today that I could stand here for a long time and tell you from the beginning to the end people that were prepared to meet the Lord and what the Lord did in their life. See, when we're prepared to meet the Lord, he is prepared to work. And why then is baptism so important? You know, Christmas started with baptism. John the Baptist, the whole Christmas scene started with that. Today, after second service, we're going to celebrate baptisms. People who have come to the place in their life to say, yes, I want more. Yes, I'm ready to receive. Yes, I'm ready to. So why is baptism so important? Well, guess what? And I love this about this. John not only prepared these people. Now, come on. You all are preparing people. If you'll let God use you, you're preparing people. John spoke the word of the Lord. He said, Jesus is coming. The Messiah is coming. People came and they spent all day with him doing what? Confessing. We're embarrassed to do that, so we hold on to it, and it continues to creep in our life because nobody's holding us accountable. Come on now, that's the American church. Y'all got stuff in your lives? You've got people that you pray for in your lives, and you just keep it to yourself. And then you say, Pastor, I have an unspoken, and I pray for that unspoken. But in this day, they went and just confessed, hugged, loved, and said, let's get in the water and get baptized. Let's get prepared for Jesus to come. Why do you think when Peter spoke? Now, here's the thing. God is intentional. Why do you think when Peter spoke after the Holy Spirit came on him, did thousands come? Why? Because a couple of months ago, guess who was preparing the way? Jesus and John the Baptizer. And so their hearts were warmed up to this idea of salvation, of the Holy Spirit coming and infilling. And so he prepared the way for thousands. And when the Holy Spirit came, it was like a wave of, why? Because they heard some things. There are some people right now that are hearing some things from you that God's preparing for their Pentecost. And so why be baptized? Well, to confess your sins and to receive the Holy Spirit. So where are you today? I know I ask that question all the time. Where are you today? And here's what I want to leave you with. Are you ready for that one day that just happens to be your day when the lots are thrown? We're not talking about gambling. Don't go out and go down to her. No, I'm talking about when the lots are thrown. And it's like, my goodness, today's the day. You know the excitement that Zechariah had to feel when he realized that today's the day. And the priests finished their preparation and they left. And the communication was left between he and God. And then all of a sudden, the angel came. So the question is today, when that incense moment comes, are you ready? Are you ready? And if you aren't, Jesus is ready to send his Spirit to get you ready. God, we thank you today for this moment. In fact, I don't know what it is, but the more I study, the more I learn, the more I see. There's so much to see in the Word of God. But I think what's stuck in my mind today is that there is something about living it out, even when we don't feel like it, even when the circumstances aren't perfect, even when we don't see the promise coming to be fulfilled, just living connected to you fully and letting you be God. I think that's what today is, letting you be God in the midst of whatever it may be. And so right now, today, I would just pray that you would speak to each and every person here in this sanctuary, because our incense moments are coming, and I believe they're going to be more than one. And I believe that you're looking for a people prepared and ready. And so prepare our hearts, prepare our minds, prepare our thought patterns, prepare us to be ready to receive. And then when it comes, God, let us not doubt. I'm guilty. Let us say, okay, let's roll. We love you. We honor you. Send us out. Send us out ready to meet in those moments. In Jesus' name, amen.